It's my first time here, not in Ballyclare, just in your church, but it's good to be with you, and it's always a privilege to come and to testify of what the Lord has done in your life. It always is nerve-wracking. You're always nervous, regardless of how many times you do it, so please bear with me as I testify tonight. But before I say any more, could we open God's Word, please, in Psalm chapter 139, please. Psalm chapter 139, and we're just going to read that nearly that whole chapter tonight. It says there in Psalm chapter 139 in the verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and thou hast known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when yet I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in the book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! And really, what this chapter outlines is really our beginnings. It explains really about where we come from, and how that God knew us even before we were brought into the world. God knew who we would be. He knew what we would become. He knew all about us. He understood us. He knew all our members, all our features. What colour of hair we would have, if we would have hair, if we wouldn't have hair, if we would be tall or if we would be small, if you would be born one way or born another way, in terms of whether you could have a condition like mine or whether you wouldn't. You see, God is sovereign and God knows all things. I just want to read one more verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in the verse 9. And it says there in that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And really, as I was explaining to your minister just before we began, in my life, with the way that it turned out, sometimes I used to just couldn't understand why these things had happened. And don't worry, I'm going to get into it in a little moment, but sometimes I would wonder why these things had happened to me. Because, you know, sometimes it was difficult to understand. And for a long time, I couldn't understand that. But when I read this verse, it talks about how that I would rather glory in my infirmities. I have an infirmity. I have a difficulty. But yet God gives me the grace to be able to testify of his saving grace. And through my condition, I can give him the praise and honour and the glory. And that's what I want to do tonight. I just want to stand behind the cross. I don't want to talk about Kyle Boyd, as it were, as a person. I want to talk about what Jesus Christ has done for me. And if you're outside of Christ, if you're not saved, what he can do for you. You see, because if you're not saved tonight, you're in a precarious position. You may not think that you're in danger, but you are. You're one breath away from being in a Christless eternity. You see, there's a place called heaven that we want to get to. It explains in the scriptures how there's a place called heaven, and that is where God is and where God lives. But the only way that we can get there is by through Jesus Christ, his Son. Because in our human state, we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We're all sinners. And God cannot have sin in heaven. And therefore, if we want to get to heaven, we must come to Christ. And you see, you're in a dangerous position if you're unsaved, because you could end up in a place called hell, which is not where God is. It is a place of damnation and of flames and of fire. And it is where the devil is. And that is a place that you want to not go. That is a place that you do not want to be. It talks in the scriptures about how there was the rich man and the poor man, and he was in hell. The rich man was in hell, and how he asked just the poor man to dip his finger in water to cool his tongue, because he was in eternal punishment and damnation in hell. And that man was lost. And he just wanted a drop of water to ease his suffering. Because in hell there is no ease of suffering. There is no relief. But there is relief in Jesus Christ. If you accept him as your Saviour, you can be fit for heaven. You can be ready for heaven. And you might think this is a very hard way, a very strong way to start a testimony. But you see, as a Christian, I am a watchman. It is my duty to tell others who are not saved, that they need to be saved, that they need to come to Jesus Christ. And I hope that through my testimony tonight, that I will be able to do that. And you can see the saving power of Jesus Christ in my own life. Well, I was born on the 15th of March, 1985, into a Christian family. And you might think that's a very strange way to start a testimony. You're looking for a birthday present. Well, you can keep it in mind, it is the 15th of March. It's right in the middle of March, and it's normally around springtime, and there's always nice things to eat around then, so with lamb and whatever, so I'm a partial to that. So if you want to get me some of that, I'd be happy enough. But I was born on the 15th of March, and that makes me 34. But the problem with my birth was it was slightly different from other people's births. In other words, I was born 10 weeks premature, which basically means I was born 10 weeks too soon. I should have been born sometime in May, but I thought in my good wisdom that I would be born on the 15th of March. Because I was born then, I was very ill. I was very small, I was very sick. I couldn't breathe on my own, one of my lungs failed. I was just very fragile. I was just very, very ill. This was 1985, that was over 30 years ago, where I was born in Dundonald. They didn't have an incubator. Now if you go to Hunter's lines of incubators, they couldn't get one for me, and then they found one, and they were able to get it, and I was able to use that and to live, because I was very, very sick. And the problem was with that was I wasn't fully developed. My lungs just weren't fully developed. Just everything just wasn't just as it should have been. But I had all my faculties. I had hair, I had nails, I had skin. I was a perfect little baby, but just smaller. And that's even a lesson for us with these times in our land where they're trying to push abortion and things like that. And they say that the baby's lives don't matter. But yet I was born 10 weeks prematurely, and yet I was still perfect in every way. I had all my little faculties. I just need a little bit of help to live. And the doctors, they said that to my mother when I was born, they just didn't know how it would end up for me. They were worried that I maybe could die because I was so ill. Because they said that females, they will fight for life, but males, they're a little bit more lazy, and they tend to not do that. So I ticked that one off the list and got through that. I didn't leave the hospital for a number of months. Eventually, my mum and dad were able to take me out of an incubator and whatnot, and they could carry me around the hospital. But even at that time, my dad would say that my head was at the tip of his finger here, and my legs were just at his wrist, and he literally would carry me on the palm of his hand. And things progressed sort of okay then. I got home. My parents were able to have me at home, whatever. But it was around the time of, I was about 10 months, my mum realised that I couldn't sit up. And they realised that they couldn't just, I couldn't do the things that I was supposed to do. And they, she said, I need to go and get tests for this. I need to go and see about this. And the thing I just want to mention this time as well is whenever I was born, my mum and dad were very young in relative terms. My dad was only 27 and my mum was 24. They were still very young. And they had my sister and then me. But whenever I was born, my father prayed to God when I was born that I would survive. Sometimes I tell the story and other times I don't because it's difficult. But he prayed to God that I would survive. And if you know my father, you'll know that he's a big man. I've only seen him cry once in my whole life. He's a strong man. But he prayed to God that I would survive. And he asked God, he said, God, you can take away some part of me. You know, you can take my arm away from me or you can take a leg away from me as long as my son survives. He prayed that. And God did keep me and I did survive. And he kept me in those early days. But the reason why I tell you that is because God had a different plan. After they did the initial tests, after I was about 10 months, because I was a baby, sometimes it's hard to know just what difficulties that you may have. And they did some tests and they said to my parents, come back in a couple of weeks and we'll hopefully be able to tell you what's wrong with Kyle or what help that he may need. And just before my mum and dad were due to go for these results, my grandmother, who's away home to Glory, she was on the bus to work, doing her daily readings, reading her Bible. And she came across this reading. And this was on the Thursday. And my parents were due to get the results on the Friday. So this was before the results. And this is what it said. A meeting was held quite far from earth. It's time again for another birth. Said the angels to the Lord above, this special child will need much love. He may not run or laugh or play. His thoughts may seem quite far away. In many ways he won't adapt and he'll be known as handicapped. So let's be careful where he's sent. We want his life to be content. Please, Lord, find the parents who will do a special job for you. They will not realize right away the leading role they're asked to play. But with this child sent from above comes stronger faith and richer love. And soon they'll know the privilege given in caring for their gift from heaven. The precious charge, so meek and mild, is heaven's very special child. And in that second verse it says, and he'll be known as handicapped. Maybe that's not a politically correct term nowadays, but that would be known as to have a disability or to have some sort of maybe physical condition. But the point I'm stressing here is my parents knew that I was going to have something wrong with me before the doctors told them. So when the doctors told them, they already knew. But why does that surprise us? Because God knew all along, because God is sovereign. And they told my parents that day that I had cerebral palsy. Which basically just means that during my birth I had a stroke and it left me with a physical disability. They actually told my parents on the same day that my sister also had cerebral palsy. My sister is a hemiplegic. She is affected on one half of her body and her arm wouldn't just be as strong as her other arm. But they told them on the same day because they hadn't realised about my sister and then they told them on the same day. Imagine that news. But as believers, they knew that it was God's will and that they were chosen from this reading to do this job. Parents have a special job to do in any child's lives. But for me and my sister, this was particularly difficult because during my early years, when I was 3, 4, and 8 years old, I underwent major surgery on my tendons and legs to stretch my muscles. I used to walk on my tiptoes, but now I don't, thankfully. The surgeries that I had done enabled me to walk. I know your minister is a keen walker, but I will not be joining him in his walks. But I will look at the nice pictures that he takes. Because I can walk around the house or into church and things, but I will certainly never be climbing mountains. But yet, through those early years, my parents went through those surgeries. My mother had to take me for physiotherapy, you know, twice, three times a week, constantly to you know, get me the things that I needed. I even remember my father is in the security forces, and this was in the Royal Victoria. These things happened, and I remember him coming in many a time, and he always used to bring toys. Every time I went through surgery, he would bring a toy for me, and I used to just wake up and say, what have you brought me today, Dad? And I have a great collection of Britain's tractors now, and they're going to go on eBay at some point, and they'll be worth a lot of money. But the thing that I never realised was he used to come with a couple of men, and he came with his colleagues. He was in RUC, and he had to come with men because people were trying to kill people like him around that area. And you know what? I didn't even realise these things. This was during the 80s, you know, bad times for Northern Ireland. But yet he did those things just so he could be with me. But God's hand was upon us all in these days. Because it says in God's word, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. And God made my way perfect, even though I didn't even realise it at the time. My parents were made sure that I was never just Kyle Boyd with cerebral palsy. I was just Kyle Boyd. They used to make me go to everything. I had a better social life when I was younger than I do now. They used to send me to all these children's meetings. I had them out on a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, a Friday night, three times on a Sunday, maybe four times on a Sunday if you could slot in another meeting. But they made no difference with me. I was sent along like everybody else. Because they wanted me to hear the gospel. And they you know, made sure that there was no difference with me in any way. You know, people in my church would say that whenever I was younger, whenever I started to walk, I began to walk when I was 4 years old. I was a bit of a late starter. But I used to fall a lot, and people used to say, well, maybe we should help Kyle. But my dad would say, no, just leave him there. He has to figure out how to get up himself. And people used to think, this is terrible. But it taught me that you have to do things that are hard sometimes, and hard work pays off. But by the age of three or four, my parents, like I said, used to send me to all these children's meetings, and they were involved in the children's work in my home church of Crossgar. And it was at this time that I realised that there was a God in heaven, and that God was a wonderful God. He gave us this earth. He created it in 6 days, rested on the seventh. He gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, who went on the cross, who was sent to the cross for us, because we're all sinners. And it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I realised that I was a sinner. You see, I realised that once you die, it's not just that's it. You see, it says in God's word in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. You see, we're all destined to die. And the world accepts that, but they don't accept that there's a judgment. You have to meet God at the end of days, and you have to. God will say to you, "What have you done for me? Are you for me? Are you against me?" And you see, whenever I was 4 years old, I got a little book about a boy called Johnny, and Johnny went to Sunday school like me. And one day, Johnny was at church, and his mum said, "Johnny, at the end of the meeting, we're going to Mr. Martin's house for dinner." And Mr. Martin had a really nice car, and Johnny said, "Mum, can I go with Mr. Martin to his house?" And Johnny's mum said, "That's no problem, Johnny." So Johnny ran from the front of the church to the back of the church into the car park to find Mr. Martin. And Mr. Martin was gone along with everybody else. And Johnny was lost. And Johnny panicked and he was lost. And he was lost for minutes. It was only minutes. But eventually he found his brothers and he made his way to Mr. Martin's house. But Johnny was afraid because it was a period of time when he was lost. And whenever I was younger, I used to have a fear of being lost. And I realised that if I died in my sin, I would be lost forever. Forever. And there was not one thing I could do about it. I knew that my parents and my sister would go to heaven, and I would not. I would be cast into the lake of fire. And at the age of four at my bedside, I asked the Lord to save me and come into my life. And like it says in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I just trusted in Jesus Christ that he would save me. And he did. And I did that at 4 years old. Four. You might say to me, that's very young. What would you know? What you were doing? I knew exactly what I was doing. Children are never young. Too young to hear the gospel. The gospel is a simple message. Sometimes it's men that make it more difficult than it needs to be. But I realized that I just needed Christ. And I asked him to save me, and he's kept me this far. Sometimes in life, I've had struggles, or sometimes I let him down. And I ask for forgiveness of those things. But all through these years, he's kept me for nearly 30 years now. And I thank him for his grace. I thank him for what he's done for me. But around this time, obviously I went to primary school, and it was easy to be a Christian. Then I moved to high school, and it was more difficult to be a Christian in high school because you want to try and fit in. And my problem was that I walk a little bit differently, so I automatically attract attention. And then also I had a classroom assistant who on one hand carried my bags for me, which was kind of nice, but also meant that she followed me around everywhere, which is not so nice when you're trying to fit in and be cool. And around this time, I realised about 14 or 15 that I would never do things that certain young men, you know, that I was trying to, I would never do, like play football properly, you know. I would never do those things. Or around the time when we left school, all my friends were going to do a trade, and I knew that I would never be a tradesman. I would never work in a building site, even if I wanted to. But yet, I never blame God for these things, because God is sovereign, and God knows all things. And he gave me that verse in Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. God knew what he was doing when he made me this way. He didn't make a mistake. Because God doesn't make mistakes. Because God is sovereign, and he knew what he was doing. And he knew that he had a purpose for my life, that I would maybe glory in my infirmities through him. And that's what I seek to do. But around the age of 16, I decided that I would go and study and do my A-levels. And I was deciding what to study. I was really into computers. And I thought, well, that would be kind of good, something to do. So I decided to go to college to do my A-levels in ICT. And I had planned to go to Lisburn. I live in Ballinhinch, which Lisburn's not that far from us. And I had planned to go to this college. And I sent away all my forms, and everything was sent off, and I got my results from my GCSEs, and I got the grades that I needed, and I hadn't heard anything back from the college. And Dad said, do you want to go down and see them? So we went down and we spoke to this lady, and she wasn't particularly helpful, and I got a bad sense from the meeting, and she asked a few questions, and it just didn't feel right. We left and Dad said, are you happy? You know, do you want to go here? And I said, it just doesn't feel right, Dad. And he said, well, can you do the course anywhere else? And I said, well, you can do it in Downpatrick, which is also as close to us as Lisburn. But the reason why I didn't want to go there is because Downpatrick is predominantly Roman Catholic, and I had a fear of going there. But also my dad was in the police, and he served in Downpatrick. So having a dad that's in the police in Downpatrick, if you've been, you just, it's too many questions that you don't want to answer. And I just thought, well, I don't want to go there for that reason. Dad said, well, let's go down anyway. And this was a Friday afternoon. We drove down. We walked in. The man looked at my results and he said, perfect. You can start on Monday. Just like that. The door just opened just like that. And I was sort of a little bit amazed by it all. But I said, well, here we are. But my problem was, whenever I was at school, I never told anybody I was a Christian. As a young believer, I wanted to make sure that I, you know, took my stand for Christ. And I thought, well, how am I going to do this now? This place, Downpatrick, it's difficult, you know, difficult to be a Christian there. And a few days later, there was a guy I had got friendly with, and I noticed he was a little bit different from everybody else. He didn't use the Lord's name in vain and whatever. And we were walking one day to class, and he just turned around to me as quick as he liked, and he said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes. I said, are you a Christian? And he said, yes. And I was amazed by this. And he went to a little gospel hall in Drumness. Obviously, I went to Crossgar. And he was the first Christian that I met. And we became firm friends. We're still friends. But through that, we were able to witness to others in our class. I remember specifically, we had a debate one time about evolution v. creation. And there was 22 evolutionists and 2 creationists, and that was me and Bob. And we had to take our stand in that, but we did. People didn't, they thought we were mad, but we took everything from the Bible as best we could. We were young, we were 16, 17, trying to take our stand, but yet we did. And through that, we were able to speak to people, we were able to witness to people. And, you know, you just don't know how the Lord works these things out. But around this time, I started to want to learn to drive. And if anybody knows me at all, they'll know that I'm a bit of a car nut, a bit of a car fan. And my dad said, well, that Kyle, for you to drive, you have to do your normal, regular driving test. But you have to do another extra test to make sure that you're safe on the road, just because of your condition. And I was like, Dad, this will be fine. Because I had never driven a car at that point. But in my head, I was the modern day Lewis Hamilton or Michael Schumacher or any of the great F1 greats. I would be no problem to drive a car. So we went and we did this examination. And the man turned around to me and he said, Kyle, you're going to be able to drive a car, but you're going to have to drive an automatic. And an automatic car is just a car that the gears change itself. And I was absolutely devastated. I was 16 at the time, and I was gutted. Because, you see, the car maker Subaru used to make a world rally car called the Impreza, and they didn't make it in an automatic. And I was devastated because I knew that I would never be able to drive a Subaru Impreza. But it all works out okay, because now all the great cars, all the fast cars are automatics, you see. So I was ahead of the curve in that game. But the thing was, I loved my car. I used to watch it all the time. Where was I going? It was the time I started to go to all the youth rallies. You did the monthly cycle. You went to Banbridge, to Tandragee, to Ralstown, trying to be Cookstown. So all the, you know, where we're going this Sunday night. But the problem was that the car sort of became the be-all and the end-all for me. And one night I was coming home, full carload of friends, and I crashed my car at the Toon Bypass and rolled it down a bank. Did a really good job of it. But it was a devastation for me as a 19-year-old, but it was also a lesson from God, because the car had become my idol. And God just took it away from me. As soon as it became my idol, he just took it away. And he's, like it says in Exodus 20:3, do not have any other gods before me. And I realized that you must put God first in every way. After I finished my A-levels, I went to study interactive multimedia design at Jordanstown. And I started that in 2003. And again, I wanted to take my stand as a Christian. And in the first week, I met a few fellas, and I wasn't sure about them. But there was one fella that I met. His name was Raymond. And I said I think I made some joke or something. And the first thing he said to me was, I'm going to knock you out. And I thought, well, maybe he's not the type of fella that I want to be friendly with. And whenever I said, whereabouts are you from? And he goes, I'm from the Rathcoole. And I thought, this guy's going to try and nick my wheelchair. So after a couple of days more, we were working on a project, and Raymond was working in the library, and I was working just alongside him. And I was looking at his screen, and all of a sudden, whatever appeared on the screen was something about the Belfast City Mission. I thought that was a bit strange. So I went over to talk to him, and I said, what are you working on? And he says, I'm just working on a little presentation here for the Belfast City Mission, because that's where I go to church, because I'm a Christian. I could see it 2 years ago. You see, I looked at Raymond on the outside, and the outward appearance, and the way that he got on. And I just thought, he's not a Christian, not a believer at all. But yet God taught me a real lesson. He taught me that, you know, look on the heart, look in people's actions rather than on how they look on the outward appearance. And me and Raymond became firm friends. We finished our degrees in 2007. He went to work for a while, and then I went to do a master's degree, and then he started a PhD, and then a year later I started a PhD as well. You might think that I'm a real, I love studying. I probably do a little bit, but it was just strange how it all worked out. You know, I did my degree, I did a master's, and I was looking for a job. I got a job in Jordanstown as a research associate, and then I had the opportunity to do a PhD, and I filled in my forms and I sent everything off. And I said to the Lord, if this is for me, open the door. If it's not for me, just close the door. I did my interview, and a week later, I heard that I hadn't got in, and I was sort of relieved, really. And I accepted that, and I said, God, that's not your path for me. You have another path for me. Sometimes it's a little bit of relief. But a couple of days later, I was working, and one of my supervisors came in, and he said, where have you been? And I had been away for a coffee, as you do when you study, and I had been away from my desk. And he came in and he said, look, somebody's dropped out, so you're moved up on the list, so you're now in to do your PhD, and you'll just start that on Monday. And this was on the Friday. And again, just everything just sort of just worked out just in time. And there I started my PhD in 2010. It was difficult. It was the hardest thing that I've ever done in terms of studying, but the Lord has undertaken for me. I now work at the Belfast School of Art, and I teach interaction design there. And I also teach in Jordanstown a little as well. But, you know, the Lord undertook for me. It says in Isaiah 40 and 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. People would say you've done a lot of studying. You must be, you know, bright or whatever. I can honestly say that the Lord has given me everything that I've needed of Him. I've asked of Him. He has given me the wisdom to get where I have, where I am now. But it's not through my own doing. Humanly speaking, hard work, yes. But it's through God and what He has done for me. He has undertook for me. Like it says there, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They shall run and not be weary. And walk and not faint. I can't really walk that well. I get tired. But yet with the Lord at my side, we can do these things. Around this time as well, obviously when you're a young man, you think about getting married and getting a wife. And I love Port Stewart, the North Coast. And I was there at Easter, I think. And I was... What young men do at Easter at Port Stewart is they drive around in cars. And they look at each other's cars and they go like this. And they nod at each other. And they do that for hours. I'm one of those people. I was driving around. And my wife... There was a car full of girls. And they drove past us and they waved to me. And actually at one point I turned around and looked. And I thought they were waving at somebody else. But there was a girl in that car that was waving at me. And her name was Emma Holmes from Ballymena. And we got friendly and we started to chat and then we started to go out. But on the week that we started to go out, I was doing my daily readings. And this is so important why you should do your daily readings every day. You should pray and read the Bible. Because God is speaking to you through those things. And He spoke to me that whole week. Now this was the week that we started to go out. And these were the titles of my readings. The first one was The Beginning of Something Special. The second one on the Tuesday was Seeing Things Straight. The third one was A Time for Everything. Fourth one was Someone Worth Talking About. Doing Things Right. Marrying the Wife and Raising the Children. The God of Providence and the Providence of God. And I knew that week that I would marry this girl. She didn't know that, and I didn't tell her, because she probably would have ran away. But I knew that this was of the Lord's doing. And if there's any young men or women out there, and they're looking for a partner in life, take it to God. Sometimes we take things to God, and things about studying, or education, or life, or difficulties. But God can sort all things. And you need to take everything to Him in prayer. But these are the things in my life, and the Lord has blessed Emma and I with her first son, Ezra. And whenever Emma was expecting, we were deciding what to call. We were thinking about names, as you do. And I read about the prophet about Ezra, and how that it actually means helper. Ezra means a helper. And I knew that this baby would be a help to me. And I knew as soon as I read that he would be a boy. And people would say to me, how do you know? And I just says, I just know. Because God had kind of revealed it unto me. But I was praying that it was right, because then I would look very silly. But when he arrived, Yeah, on the 17th of August, he brought joy to our lives. And as he does every day, he is a blessing to us. And I hope that he will be a help to us as a family. But as I close, I just want to say these things. All these things that have happened in my life are God's doing, because I give my life to Jesus. And that he took control of the difficult things. I don't know how I would live my life without Christ. I don't know how people live without a Saviour. Somebody you can talk to, pray to, rely on, trust. And you might say to me tonight, but it's different for you, Kyle. You had cerebral palsy. I don't have that. You know, I don't have those problems, those issues. But friend, you have a greater difficulty. Because sin will separate you from God. Cerebral palsy doesn't matter. Whenever I get to heaven, I get a new body. And these things will be passed away. But it's whether you're for God or not for him is the things that I want to leave with you. You need to be for God. You know, in your life, what do you seek? Christ himself says in John 1, what seek ye? In your life, what are you seeking? Money, job, a house, cars, whatever. These are all material things. Maybe it's the things of the world. These things will only last for a season. They'll give you pleasure, certainly will, but only for a time. But what does Christ say? In the same chapter, he says, instead of seeking the world, he says in the verse 43, follow me. Follow me. And I pray that you will do that tonight. If you're outside of Christ, that you will follow the Lord. Because it says in John 1 again, later on in the verse, it says, come and see. And I'm asking you tonight, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, come and see. His fruits are glorious. He gives you the strength. He gives you the help. He reveals things unto you. You have the book that you can read and study and learn more about him, and your life is fulfilled. And I pray that you will do that tonight. I pray that if you're saved and that if you're going through a time of difficulty, all I can say to you is keep looking up. That's all we can do. In times of difficulty, we just have to keep praying. We have to keep trusting. And remember that sometimes we're going through difficulties, but if you're a believer, we can glory in those infirmities because we know they're of the Lord and we have to trust in him. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Kyle, and that was very encouraging, and I thoroughly enjoyed that word of testimony tonight. And I was, as Kyle was speaking, I was thinking of that verse. The Lord said, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And there's always a hereafter with the Lord, and the Lord directs our steps and guides our path in that way that will most glorify his great name. Thank you for coming, Kyle, and we trust the Lord will bless you and bless your testimony as well as you seek to serve the Lord and witness for him. Let's close tonight by turning to the hymn slip that was given out on the way in. Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. Calvary covers it all, and we'll stand together as we sing.